We're now going to get to our broadcast partners who are standing by someplace around the world for the purpose of helping us to understand the details behind the headlines in the news today. And Ken Timmerman, the man that we will look at geopolitical activities with, is actually standing by in Tampa, Florida. Let's now get to the geopolitical activities we want to cover with you, Ken. First of all, I've got to talk to you about Iran, who will be hosting 30 leaders of the world leaders, some of them Islamic, some of them not, in Tehran. It's going to be a very historic meeting. It will be a meeting of the Non-Aligned Nations Movement, and they will have as their attendees Ban Ki-moon, who's the Secretary General of the United Nations, along with the newly elected President of Egypt, President Mohamed Morsi. What are your thoughts about these two men in particular being at this confab there in Tehran, Iran?
Well, first of all, I think it's a disgrace that the Secretary General of the United Nations would go to Tehran at a time when there are mounting international pressures on the Iranian regime to abandon their nuclear weapons program. And diplomatic pressures on them as well to isolate the regime. If you needed another reason why the United Nations is not a friend of the United States, here is a good one. But it's a funny story, Jimmy. I was actually asked in 2005 by the Bush State Department to go to the IAEA to reach out to the non-aligned movement and tell them why Iran was in violation of the non-proliferation treaty. And after the speech that I gave, they actually got a vote that the non-aligned members went along with that put the first sanctions on Iran. So members of that movement, such as South Africa, can be reached. For them all to go to Tehran is clearly not a good thing.
Well, when you look at the Egyptian president, Mohamed Morsi, attending, there's been broken ties between Egypt and Iran. Since his election, the Iranians have reached out to Morsi in an effort to try to restore their relationships. Is this a good sign or not a good sign?
It's very dangerous indeed. And, you know, our listeners need to understand that Iran and Egypt severed diplomatic relations with Iran shortly after the assassination of Sadat, when the Iranians named a street in Tehran, Islambouli Street, after the assassin who murdered President Sadat. So the relations have not been good ever since that time. And Morsi, who is the head of the Muslim, who is the Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt, has been making very favorable signs about working with Iran, about collaborating with Iran. And I am seriously concerned of a new axis in the Middle East that would breach the Sunni-Shia divide, because the Muslim Brotherhood is a Sunni organization. The Iranians are Shia, two different sects of Islam. I'm very concerned that the two of them will get together in a strong alliance against the rest of the world.
And we stand by on the sidelines watching the Muslim Brotherhood very effectively coming to power in Egypt. They have their tentacles into Libya, into Syria, wanting to bring down the monarchy there in Jordan as well. It looks to me like the Muslim Brotherhood is taking total control, not only of Egypt, but trying to do that in the entire Middle East.
Good point. And actually, I believe that President Obama has been enabling the Muslim Brotherhood from the get-go, from the minute that he took office in 2009. We learned last year, for example, that in April of 2009, they had a secret meeting at the White House with representatives from the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. We have learned recently from the White House that they have had hundreds of meetings with Muslim Brotherhood representatives and front organizations in the United States of the Muslim Brotherhood, such as the Council on American-Islamic Relations, CARE. So I think this administration has been enabling the Muslim Brotherhood takeover. A great sign that I posted to our my campaign website, TimmermanForCongress.com, a while ago, was held up by protesters, Egyptian protesters, in front of the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, and it says, "Barack Hussein Obama, you stole the Arab Spring." And they were specifically referring to Obama's support for the Muslim Brotherhood takeover of Egypt.
I'm going to be talking with others about the situation there in the Sinai. But the Muslim Brotherhood leadership, Mohammed Morsi, has moved his military, his tanks, and his troops into the Sinai, and actually to the Israeli border. This is not boding well for a relationship between the Egyptians and the Israelis.
It's not. And Morsi has said, at least during the campaign, that he would annul the peace treaty with Israel that Egypt signed over 30 years ago. Israel has taken this into account. They have had to raise new troops and something like six brigades to put down on the Egyptian border. They have not had to post troops on the Egyptian border for 30 years. So this is a dramatic shift in the strategic balance in the Middle East.
Yes, and somewhat of a violation of the Camp David Accords, saying that the Sinai cannot be militarized by either party, the Egyptians or the Israelis. And the Muslim Brotherhood coming out making the statement that Israel is actually the one who violated the peace accord first.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see a lot more of this in the coming months. It's a potentially very dangerous situation. And if you have Iran and Hezbollah to the north of Israel, you have Syria on another side of Israel, you've got Gaza and then Egypt below Israel. They're bracketing Israel from all sides. This could be a dangerous repeat of the 1967 war, but this time with the adversaries of Israel potentially armed with nuclear weapons.
Ken, on Friday, there was a demonstration against Morsi in the center of Cairo and in other Egyptian cities as well. Howbeit, these demonstrations were small, I'll have to admit that. But of great concern was the fact that the Christian community of Egypt turned out to participate. Now, you have talked with me, and not only talked with me, but traveled around the Middle Eastern region, documenting, actually, how the Christian world in the Middle East is under attack, and in particular, there in Egypt. This is a very interesting development, isn't it?
Well, it's very concerning. You know, they're roughly 10% of the population of Egypt, so 7 to 8 million people are Coptic Christians. We have heard news reports that over the past year, more than 100,000 Coptic Christians have fled Egypt, fearing persecution from the Muslim Brotherhood. And by the way, not just idle fears. The Coptic Christians were already under pressure under Mubarak. It was very difficult for them to be able to even repair existing churches, and there was all kinds of discrimination and harassment that they were subjected to under Mubarak. Under the Muslim Brotherhood, they are considered dhimmis, second-class citizens, who have to pay the jizya, the protection tax, to the ruling Islamic government. This is a situation, I think, which is dramatically different from what the Christians in Egypt have enjoyed for the past 30 years. And I feel we get a situation such as we had in Iraq, where two-thirds of the Iraqi Christians have been forced to flee because of jihadi Muslim attacks.
I can't talk with you without getting an update on the Syrian situation and an interesting development taking place. There is infighting going on in Tripoli, Lebanon. Now, in Tripoli, at the northern end of Lebanon, there is a mixture of those who are pro-Assad and anti-Assad elements that are there. They've been fighting. Now, this is a spillover out of Syria, isn't it?
Yeah, from what I've heard of this, it's a clan affair. There's the Miqdad clan who are supporters of Hezbollah, and a couple of their people had gone to Syria serving as snipers for Assad against the opposition. They were captured by the Syrian opposition, and so then the Miqdad clan in Lebanon then kidnapped four or five of the Syrians that they could find locally, and they're each needing to chop off the heads of the others if they're not released. This is really Middle East politics at its most basic, at its most brutal, and its most bloody. This is the way they do business, unfortunately, among these Muslim groups. And it's we're going to see a lot more of it, I think, in the months to come.
And meanwhile, the opposition still fighting, some attacks happening in Damascus, all across the countryside, just hundreds and thousands of people dead, many of them wounded, many of them displaced from their homes.
Yeah, the toll that we've heard so far, Jimmy, is what, is it close to 20,000 now already in Syria? The vast majority of them civilians who have been murdered in this conflict. This is a civil war, but it's a civil war between two very bad parties at this point. You have a brutal dictatorship, Assad, who's supported by Iran, by Russia, by China, and then you've got the Muslim Brotherhood on the other side. I see some hope there in the divisions inside the opposition. You have the Kurds, and you have other anti-Muslim Brotherhood groups, but the United States is not helping them. That is the biggest problem right now. The United States and Western Europe are helping the Muslim Brotherhood of elements in the Syrian opposition, and I think it's just the wrong thing to do.
Ken Timmerman, he's reporting from Tampa, Florida. And on top of stories happening across this world, geopolitical events unfolding, he gives us the details behind the headlines. Ken, thank you so very much. Journey's mercies as you're there in Tampa. Watch out for that hurricane, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. God bless.